Welcome to 3CR, Norm Sanders. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us. And today we're going to talk about your expertise and knowledge about North Korea and the nuclear threat. I read your article on Independent Australia, and maybe we could talk about your point of view on the current situation.
Okay, well, thanks for having me. I've been 3CR, you know, has been around for years, and I can remember being on it a long time ago, and I'm glad you guys are still in business and doing a good job.
Yes. Thank you.
North Korea. Well, the one thing that really bothers me most about North Korea is not North Korea itself, but it's the fact that it is the present boogeyman. You know, governments like to have somebody that they can get people afraid of. So now we're supposed to be afraid of North Korea. And so governments, if they have somebody that's really scaring the populace, can get away with anything. It disguises all the government's mismanagement and their blunders. And they say, well, but we're worried about the North Koreans. Well, in the first place, I don't worry about the North Koreans. The South Koreans don't even worry about the North Koreans.
Yes.
So what are we worried about? The nuclear weapons? Well, look, there's a lot of, there's, I think, 14 countries or something have nuclear weapons. Look at it from North Korea's standpoint. Here's this tiny little country. They don't have any natural resources. They try and sell coal to China, and that's about it. The last communist country, really, on the face of the earth, and they feel isolated. And also, I think they are a dictatorship, you know. I mean, of many years standing. So, you know, they are inward-looking, and they resist any overtures by anybody to get them into the outside world. And they're very suspicious, and they just lash out. And they're constantly making threats, which the South Koreans don't take seriously, but everybody else uses to their own advantage, basically.
And you feel that the Turnbull government currently is doing exactly that in conjunction with the U.S. President Donald Trump?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I mean, look at North Korea's actual capacity. They have no ICBMs at all that work. They've never had a successful intercontinental ballistic missile launch. They've never had one that worked. They've never been able to successfully mount one of their atomic bombs to a nuclear or a missile of any kind. They've only had, I think, 5 underground tests. I think they're going for their 6th one if they have one. And it's one thing to set off an atomic bomb in a controlled environment. And these things are huge, the way they're making them. But to try and get one small enough to put it on a missile and then make the missile not explode like the last one did on their launch just a few days ago, that's hard, and it takes a long time, and it takes a lot of expertise and a lot of technology and equipment, which they don't seem to have much of. So I'm really not worried about them as a nuclear threat. As a threat, if they get provoked, I feel that there's a threat to Seoul itself, because they have hundreds, if not thousands, of pieces of artillery pointing at Seoul across the border, which is only a few kilometers from the border. That would be the worry about destruction, not a nuclear one, but it's certainly not. They haven't got anything that could reach Australia. And frankly, I think that with a limited number of weapons they'll ever have, Australia is just not a target. But the politicians say, oh, well, we've always had this thing about, you know, the invasion from the north, the Oriental, the Chinese or the Vietnamese or North Vietnamese invading Australia. It's not going to happen. And I think if you turned the map over so that Australia was on top of all these Asian nations, nobody would worry. But if you look at a map and think, oh, look at all those people, they're going to come down to Australia and invade us. Well, that's been the attitude forever here. I found it when I first came to this country, I found it ridiculous. But it's part of the psyche.
You also mentioned that their submarine missile launching from the submarines also not up to a scratch.
Oh, no. That is a really difficult technical maneuver to launch a missile from a submarine and get it to actually ignite and go where you want it to go. They tried one, and it went 35 kilometers. Well, it actually didn't. It wasn't controlled at all. It kind of went up in the air and fizzled around like a firecracker for a while, and it fell 35 kilometers away from where it was launched. It takes an awful lot of technology and a lot of know-how and a lot of experience and, in fact, an awful lot of equipment. You have to waste a lot of equipment to get these things right, and they don't have the equipment to waste.
And neither the knowledge, you reckon?
Well, I don't know who their experts are, but I'll tell you one thing, from what I've observed of Kim Jong-un, he doesn't tolerate failure very well. And when that missile went off and on the 100th anniversary, I guess it was, and it exploded on launch, you can be sure that those particular missile engineers are not going to be around much longer. They will be punished. And so if they're experts and they don't have awful lot of experts, and every time there's a failure, I think the experts the ranks of them get thinner and thinner.
So it's a bit like the weapons of mass destruction fear campaign that was launched in the 90s.
Yeah.
So you reckon that's where it sits, yeah?
Well, I think so. I mean, they certainly, they are something that we have to deal with. But I think we, in this day and age, we ought to have ways of dealing with people other than threatening them with atomic bombs.
Yes.
On either side. And I think, and there have been attempts. You know, there is a joint manufacturing facility between North Korea and South Korea that employs a lot of thousands of people. And there are attempts to try and get North Korea into the world community instead of being paranoid and sitting back, but to actually join up. But the United States, of course, does nothing but put sanctions on them, which doesn't make them want to negotiate at all. But I think if the United States, if Trump, oh, my God, don't talk to me about Trump.
Yes, you don't like him very much, do you?
Look, he's a reality, the one-man reality show. You know? He's absolutely outrageous, and he's great television, but, my God, he's the leader of the world. Forget it. But anyway, where was I going? Oh, yeah, if Trump would sit down, I can't imagine this, and talk to Kim Jong-un as an equal and say, okay, buddy, let's work this thing out. Now, what is your grievance, you know? Well, gee, I feel like nobody appreciates me, nobody likes me, nobody loves me. Well, we love you. You know, let's get together. What do you got? You got coal? We'll buy some coal. What would you like to do? Would you like to set up some manufacturing? Would you like us to set up some manufacturing plants or something or whatever, you know? Just to talk about, I mean, Trump is supposed to be a deal maker, correct? Let's do a deal here. But instead, he just wants to bomb them back to the Stone Age. I think dialogue in this day and age, if we haven't learned anything as a human race, I think we should have learned that dialogue is better than bombs any day.
Yes, and you have first-hand experience in this bombing, so in the days gone by. I was reading another article on this where in the 1950s it's always referred to as the Korean War.
Yeah.
The U.S. simply dropped massive amounts of bombs, and it was about 32 tons of napalm, according to a report I've been reading.
That was such a horrible thing.
They killed like 20% of the population. So that's a history there as well that has created this hatred of the North Koreans of the U.S. And you go from there, and the insular mentality develops because you have to defend yourself.
Well, that's right, and they of course they would have lost that war except for the Chinese, who came to their aid and gave them many, many troops and a lot of technical and logistical support. And, yes, napalm, what a terrible thing. Jellied gasoline.
Mm.
And you drop it out of an airplane, and it ignites, and it sticks to everything, and it's still burning. I don't know if you ever saw that picture of that little Vietnamese
yes,
girl.
Yes, that's a very, very notorious,
yes.
I didn't want to say
and
famous,
such
yes.
Such a horrible weapon. It's just terrible. And the bombing. But it was a horrible war on both sides, because I had a lot of friends who went over there.
Mm.
I was draft age at that time, and I joined the Air Force because I didn't want to get into Korea. I didn't want, and I was in the United States all that time. We never got sent to Korea, which I was quite happy about. But I had friends who died over there, and you know, it would get 40 below zero or minus 40 centigrade in the winters. It's brutally cold,
and it
was just a horrible war in all respects, in terms of the loss of lives, the loss of everything. The agricultural land was destroyed. It was just a horrible thing, and it never really ended. You know, it's never been a peace treaty signed yet. There's still that demilitarized zone with armed troops on both sides of it.
Yes, this article I was referring to talks about the fact that the United States bombed everything that moved in North Korea, every brick standing on the top of another. After running low on urban targets, U.S. bombers destroyed hydroelectricity, farms, and it's just a horror story of how terrible this war was for the Koreans, and it's no wonder. It's something that's still in the memory of many Koreans who will be alive today. And
well, it would be.
Mm.
And also, you know, there's animosity between the Koreans and the Japanese because of the Japanese occupation of Korea, on both South and North Korea. The Japanese had that. They had that under the control for years and years, and there's still that long-standing sore that's between the Japanese and the Korean comfort women.
Yes, of course.
And that hasn't been settled yet. So that's another reason I think the Koreans feel they've really been hard done by, and they have on both sides, both South and North, actually.
The other thing was that Pyongyang in 1953 was also almost decimated. It says here 75% of it was destroyed by U.S. bombing. So just summing up, the destruction was so enormous that it's pretty difficult for the Koreans to have it erased from their memory or the history, I guess.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help the regime come into the modern world as such. It has been isolated, partly because of them, partly because of the rest of the world, and especially the U.S., which has constantly attacked North Korea for their choice of government, communist, socialist, whatever people want to call it. It's a disastrous situation, and right now Trump is targeting it and using that rhetoric everybody uses and has been used many times at other junction at his times in history against communist countries. So what we have is a standoff, in a sense. But I wonder if you could perhaps, from your political experience, give some sort of insight into...
I don't really know. I don't know what the answer to this is.
Mm.
It's like the Middle East.
Yes. Yeah, it's very sad.
How do you solve this thing? I think, as I said before, it's just through dialogue. I think somebody, it can't be the North Koreans... But it has to be Trump or his cabinet or somebody opening a line of communication that doesn't involve sending bombers over. It really depends on China and Russia. Russia is also on the border of North Korea, you know.
Of course.
And they have always vetoed anything having to do, as they do in the Middle East now, vetoed anything having to do with Korea, North Korea. But and China is starting to realize that its future is involved in trade. It's not really a communist country anymore.
No.
It's a very capitalist country, and they don't want to be dragged into any confrontation with anybody. It would affect their economy and their trading future. So eventually, but I don't know how much pressure they can actually put on the Koreans, to tell you the truth, the North Koreans, nor Russia. And what the UN, I don't know what the UN could do about it either. I think that somebody, and it has to be the United States, is going to have to start talking with Kim Jong-un. That's all.
Mm.
That's the end of it. If they don't, it's going to be a running sore, and somebody's going to miscalculate and drop a bomb someplace.
Mm. Just seems that everyone needs a great big lesson in conflict resolution without violence.
Absolutely. And haven't we as a human race evolved enough that we can actually do this?
Yes.
I would hope so, but
yes.
the signs are not propitious.
No, not with Trump at the helm, I guess. Anyway, no. Thank you very much, Noam. That's very kind of you to share your experiences with us and giving us your opinions.
Okay, nice talking to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, see you.